This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Hey guys, welcome to Most Valuable Podcasts. My name is Ricky Widmer, and as always, I'm joined by Brandon Swanson.
Hey, hey, hey.
And this podcast, me and Brandon, notice how I didn't say the prime time podcast, because me and Brandon are going to throw a curveball at you, and instead of talking about college sports, we're going to push the prime time podcast to the bench for a week, and we're bringing on the pinch hitter. We're going to be talking about baseball, MLB trade deadline, the trades that happened, what we think about them, because Brandon came into me today, guys, and he's like, you know what? We did our previews for college football. I'm a baseball guy. Can we please talk about some baseball? That's what you said to me, Brandon.
Exactly what I said. Pretty much exactly like that. I was very persuasive.
But we had a lot of deals. Let's get right into it. We had a ton of deals go down. My Cubs did nothing. Basically nothing. The Mets were in on it. Pirates got a little bit of something going on. The Dodgers were there. But the biggest wheeler and dealer, this is the team we're going to talk about first, is a team that has been 5-1 since making a certain trade. They had guys like Mark Lowe, David Price, Troy Tulowitzki. It's the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays went out, got Tulowitzki, swapped shortstop, sent Reyes to Colorado, sent three guys over to the Tigers for David Price, and then sent three more over to Seattle for pitcher Mark Lowe. And it looks like to me, they could be, boom, wild card team. Maybe even, could they catch the Yankees when making these trades?
Well, first of all, we're here, and I think that what people would expect us to say, if you listen to anything, Baseball Tonight, MLB Network, any of the insiders, San Diego was going to be a huge dealer leading up to the deadline and at the deadline.
Well, no, did you hear what the GM of the Padres said about why they didn't make any deals? Because he believes this roster can make the postseason.
Yeah, I believe I heard him saying that, but one of the things in
a
reading,
team that's 6.5 behind the Giants and the Cubs for the second wild card spot.
The White Sox aren't even that far behind in the American League. That says something. But anywho, I was reading somewhere that the reason they didn't make any moves is because they couldn't bring themselves, after making all the deals they did over the winter, they couldn't bring themselves to tear the roster apart, because that would mean they're saying, we're rebuilding, we're giving up, we're throwing in the white flag, and they didn't want to do it. So that was a surprise to me that we didn't see trades from the Padres on all the guys that they had the ability to deal. But let me talk really quick about the team that we should be talking about.
The Blue Jays.
And that's the Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah. I mean, you talk about a winner at the trade deadline. I mean, they by far the winner at the trade deadline. You get Troy Tulowitzki. They won that deal, and in my opinion, at least for guys right now, if you want talent right now, Jose Reyes he's getting long in the tooth. People could say so is Tulowitzki, but I think Tulowitzki, he provides a little bit more spark, I think, than Jose Reyes does, especially with the bat. Tulowitzki in his first game with the Blue Jays, after going 1-for-22, he hits a home run, 3 RBIs. He's doing fine at Rogers Center. He's going to be very good for them. Then they get David Price. I mean, this guy is very, very good. David Price is a good pitcher.
You mean they get the guy that the Cubs should have said, hey, you know what, we got to get this guy.
Well, there are a lot of different pitchers the Cubs could have gone out and got. Instead, they settled for Dan Heron.
I'm going to get to David Price when we eventually do get to the Cubs, but that was the one guy I really wanted the Cubs to go out and get, because we needed a fourth starter, a guy to really bring the starting rotation together. But I'm looking at this Blue Jays depth chart, and the thing I absolutely love is their starting rotation now. Price is obviously the ace. If R.A. Dickey can be half of what he was when I can't remember if he was a free agent or a trade over from the Mets, when the Blue Jays got him after his tenure with the Mets, if he can be half the guy he was in New York, and if Mark Burley can be a tenth of what he was when he threw a perfect game with the White Sox in 2009, I believe that was. I mean, Hutchinson and Estrada can just be there and let these three guys carry the bullpen. Then Tulowitzki adding a bat. He's way better than Reyes. I believe when they got Reyes, it's like, okay, we got a guy who can be our shortstop. And Reyes wasn't really living up to expectations. Now you get a guy like Tulowitzki, add him with Smoke, Donaldson, Batista. This is a team that I'm going to say it right here, Brandon. I'm not ready to say they're going to win the East, but they will be a wild card team. I believe it's going to be now the Angels and the Blue Jays. Sorry, Twins fans.
Well, I think that Blue Jays fans have to be extremely hopeful now. And they have to be extremely excited. And they have to be fans that are so thankful that they have ownership that's going to go out there and that is not afraid to make some moves. Okay, you're going to get rid of some good prospects.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm one. I'm more of the thinking prospects are great, but who needs them when you're trying to get some big players for right now and for the next couple of years? Prospects are great, but honestly, they haven't done anything yet. That's the thing. You want to go for guys who have done something to get you to win now. But I think that it's a couple other moves, too, that the Blue Jays did. Getting Mark Lowe, really good for the bullpen. And then they get Ben Revere, more of a utility guy in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a good pickup from the Philadelphia Phillies. The Toronto Blue Jays, by making the moves that they made the rest of the American League, for sure,
mm-hmm.
and the National League, I think, probably even look and say, these guys are going for it. These guys are going for it. I don't know how scared the Yankees got, but I bet Brian Cashman was saying, oh, no. Because they didn't do anything at the trade deadline.
No, they didn't.
And talk about a team,
they were another team
that was supposed to do something.
They needed a pitcher.
Pineda had just gone down. They knew nothing.
They were all in the talks for, are they going to get Price? Are they going to go for Shields or Cole Hamels? They were one of the front runners. Them and the Dodgers were supposedly the two front runners for Cole Hamels. And the Yankees don't do anything. And I mean, to bring the Blue Jays back into this a little bit, the next, let's say, from now until, I'll go ahead and even say August 16th, is going to be very important, not just for the Blue Jays, but for the playoff race in the American League, for sure. Because today, as we're recording this on Monday night, the Blue Jays won their first game against the Twins earlier today, 5-1. That's what got them into the tie right now. They have three more games at home against the Twins. If you win two of those, you're a game ahead of the Twins. Then, starting August 7th, six out of their next nine games are against the Yankees. A three-game series in New York, and then a series off, and then they go and play the Yankees at home. If they could win four out of six of those games, they can pull a little bit up into the standings and maybe be 3.5 out with just under 2 months to go in this baseball season.
The Blue Jays are a team to watch. If they weren't a team before that you were worried about, you have to be now. And I think this past series against the Kansas City Royals
mm-hmm.
at home was definitely telling. And there were tempers flaring on Sunday, that's for sure, as benches got cleared. It was.
Can I ask you something about that? You're talking about when the Royals were thrown.
All the pitches kept. I felt bad for Donaldson.
I want to ask you this question because I know that even though you're a White Sox fan, I'm going to out you a little bit to the Southsiders. You're also a Royals fan.
Yeah.
And the one thing I want to ask you is after that game, Ned Yost, manager for the Royals, said, you know what? I loved how the umps did everything. You just got to understand that that's how baseball's going to be at times. And you know what? It really just saying the umps did the right thing without throwing anybody. And Jose Bautista came out and said, wow, just heard, this was on Twitter, just heard the comments by Ned Yost after the game. I really lost some respect for that man. What were your thoughts after Yo saying, you know what, the umps did the right thing by not tossing anyone with all the pitches being thrown at other guys?
Well, one is that Ned Yost, as a manager, he, you know, his players didn't get tossed, so he's not going to
well,
say
anything.
Of course,
he's not
going
to say the umps are shit and didn't do this. They should have done that.
Exactly. So he's not going to say that. My opinion, Jim Wolf, home plate umpire, needed to take control of that game from the beginning, and they said in the replays, oh, Jim Wolf is an experienced umpire. He didn't act like one. He acted like he was a newbie. Didn't want to ruffle any feathers. You call and warn the benches the very first time someone
the
said.
The next person to throw gets tossed.
Yes.
That's in my mind what should have happened.
That's what should have happened.
No matter what team you're on.
That's what should have been set from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do he acted like he was going to do it, and then he didn't do it. And then when there's a pitch that hits someone, I think on the Royals side, that didn't even look too intentional.
Yeah, I think they hit it was either Hosmer or Moose. They hit him in the legs.
And that honestly, that didn't look that intentional
to me.
Yeah, it
was Sanchez.
And they tossed
him
out
with the pitch.
My problem is
this was when they went after Donaldson twice. They hit Tulo in the chest.
After that, you look at something like that. The umpire,
mm-hmm.
the home plate umpire, Jim Wolf, did not do what he should have done.
I'm going to throw one more thing out there because I know this is a little bit off of the trade deadline, but we're going to get back to trades in a second. The one thing I heard about this as I was watching PTI today, waiting for you to get off of work so we can record this podcast, was they're talking about this game because it just happened yesterday. And Wilbon on PTI said to Ryan, because Kornheiser had the day off, he goes, you know what? I kind of feel like this Royals team, last year they were the underdog. This year they're kind of like the, I can't remember the exact words he used, but they're kind of D-bags is basically what he was saying, where they're going to be the bad boys on the block and they'll throw at you a couple times. And they're kind of nasty this year, which they weren't last year. Last year they were the lovable underdog story. Now it seems like they might be swaying over into bad boy territory.
And I think that's kind of started to, at least in the minds of the Blue Jays, that has now been kind of the thinking about the Kansas City Royals. I do love the Kansas City Royals. I'll say that. I love the Royals because I grew up a White Sox fan.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do like the White Sox, so we know your judgment in teams isn't the best anyways.
I love the White Sox. Well, you're a Cubs fan, Rick.
Yeah, I'm
you
on
can
the right
up.
Side, man.
But, yeah, okay. But but I love the White Sox, and I do love the Royals. Grew up with family in Kansas City, have gone to Royals mm-hmm. games, you know, for a long time. They used to be so bad. I mean, so bad. Like, when they lost, you weren't even mad because you just expected it. But
trust me, I know.
But when they finally got good last year, when they finally put it all together, like my golf game this past weekend.
Trust me, I know.
It was like, wow.
You're taking me back to like 2008 when we had Fukudome and Aramis was actually happy to be there and the Riot was happy to be there. I know. I know what you're talking about, Brandon.
It was awesome for Kansas City last year. And they were. They were like the lovable team that was like, oh my gosh, let's get behind them. Let's root for them. Then the frickin' Giants won.
Now they're kind of like.
But now.
They're kind of giving. To me, it kind of looks like they're trying to be the Yankees of like the 90s where it's like, nobody liked the Yankees except for New York, except
still,
for the Bronx.
Still, no one likes them. But what Kansas City needs to do and mm-hmm. get back to, because they've been scuffling, they need to get back to Kansas City baseball. Just go out there, do your thing, be quiet, fly under the radar, get the job done, go out, win the division, and then move on to the playoffs. That's what you need to do. I mean, right now, Kansas City, they have got it going for them. They've got good players. Their pitching is kind of struggling. We've been noticing that. But mm-hmm. what they need to do is they need to go out there, shut their mouths, do what they do best, and that is play their style of ball, and they are great at it.
And kind of going back to what we were talking about before we went on this little Kansas City Royals tyrant was when I said the Blue Jays schedule, just to show you guys the Yankee part of it. For the Yankees, I would even extend that from August 16th to August 19th because they have a three-game series against the Sox. Then they play at home, three games against the Blue Jays, then three games at Cleveland. I mean, bottom feeder in the Central, but I don't know. I feel like the Indians can still give the Yankees a run for their money in that series. Then Toronto again in Toronto. Then they come home to play a three-game series against the Twins. So you're playing a team that's going to be fighting you for the division crown, a team that if you lose, how many you lose to the Blue Jays could put you in a wild card fight with the Twins. And then starting tomorrow, you got to play the Sox, who always play you. They always play you tight. They always play you tight. Boston, New York, always tight games.
Yeah, and I just want to bring this a little full circle right now to get back to what we're yeah, talking about before. You guys got to talk
some trades, Brandon.
But I think that right now, the Yankees, with going through their schedule, they've got some tough games. Mm-hmm. They should be a little worried. The Toronto Blue Jays are on a hell-bent path to get to the playoffs. So the New York Yankees better watch out. Another winner for me, the New York Mets. I mean, just an absolutely great job. They
well,
go from
just the week that they had this past week was well, I don't know if it's amazing or it's just wow.
They go from almost getting Carlos Gomez and Wilmer Flores thinking he's traded.
Oh, that I felt bad for that kid.
Oh, I felt so bad. But in the end, they don't get Carlos Gomez. They get someone better. Yonis Cespedes. Who would have thought that he was even available? Honestly, who would have thought that the Tigers would have been sellers at the deadline?
The Tigers, to me, were the biggest cloak and magic reveal of this entire trade deadline. Because it seemed like, I think it was Wednesday, midweek, maybe Tuesday. No, we're not sellers. We're going to be in it. Then 2 days later, I get a little text message from ESPN. Oh, yeah, four players. Here they are on the block. It's like, really? 2 days ago, you said you're not going to sell. Now it looks like you're going into sell mode. And here's the question I have about the Mets. If they do get the deal done that sends Flores to Milwaukee, they'd get Carlos Gomez. Do they still make this deal for Yonis Cespedes?
No, then there's really no need. There's no need. I mean, at that point, they're probably thinking, dang, he's available. We could have gone after him.
Would you rather have Cespedes?
Absolutely. Better hitter. He's a better hitter. He brings much more power to the table. Gomez is going to give you more speed.
He's younger than Gomez, too, right?
I'm not sure on that.
I'm going to look that up.
But I definitely know Cespedes is a much better hitter. And that's what New York wants right now. They want a hitter. And that's what Cespedes will bring. And they definitely, I think, won by getting him over Gomez.
You know what brought this whole Mets thing, though, full circle? Flores, the night of the almost Gomez trade, he's out there tearing up. And I know there's some people saying, hey, wipe those tears away. There's no crying in baseball. And the thing I thought to myself was I saw the highlights on SportsCenter because here in Chicago we didn't get the game. And I'm just watching, I'm going, wow. That's something I never thought of, especially because for me, I'm always playing MLB The Show. I trade a player. Doesn't really matter. It's a computer. But you just look at it and you go, man, these players are real people that this kid came up with the organization, spent all his time with the organization, and just him hearing, yeah, you're getting traded, brought tears to his eyes. And he's crying out there at shortstop. I know that, like I said, some of the fans, announcers were giving him a little bit of shit for that because it's like, you know what, wipe the tears away. I think the announcer said along the lines, like, wipe your tears, you still have a job to do, kind of a thing. And to go out 2 days later, I want to say it was Friday, and hit the walk-off home run to give the Mets the win, just to me, kind of brought it full circle. Like, hey, you shouldn't have traded this kid. You made the right move. Well, for now, at least.
Yeah, you know, and they on Baseball Tonight, they had a really nice forum discussion with a lot of the insiders. And they kind of said, in a sense, you know, it's our fault, you know, not necessarily them, but it's the media's fault. That's the whole reason why he even thought he was traded. The media is so quick to be able to say done deal, all this stuff, when something's not necessarily done. I mean, if there isn't cash changing hands or actual stuff, you know it's happening, the physical is in, it's accepted by the teams, they're good to go, that player's getting on the plane and going to the other team, it's not a done deal. It's just not.
Well,
and that is the media's fault.
And I looked up, actually, Cespedes and Gomez, they're actually the same age. The only difference is Carlos Gomez has been in the league for 8 years. Cespedes has only been in the league for 3 years.
Cespedes is definitely a better pickup. Also, the Mets, they get Tyler Clippard. He's going to be a good back of the bullpen kind of guy.
Well, I mean, not even.
I mean, there's a lot of good pickups there.
And then we mentioned Gomez so much, we got to mention where he went. He goes to the Astros, which the Astros look like a team that, I mean, what was it, 2 years ago when they moved to the AL, everyone's like, oh, well, you got the bottom feeder of the NL Central. And now here's a team that's four games up on the Angels for the West. They're probably going to make the playoffs, either wild card or division winner.
But how about that? How about take these two teams that no one a couple of years ago.
A bottom feeder in the NL, too, going over to the AL and now at the top of the division.
These two teams, people would have never thought a couple of years ago. The Astros, the Royals. Two teams making moves at the deadline, both leading their respective divisions. How about that?
And, I mean, look at the A's. The A's last year were, are they going to be Cinderella? And now they're 13 games back. They're 47-59. Nowhere near a playoff discussion.
We're starting to see a whole lot more parity in baseball these last, I'd probably say these last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it because now we're seeing teams, the Pirates. I mean, the Pirates a couple of years ago, I mean, it was a joke. It was a joke. You just felt so bad for them. But now it's like, man, they're good. Astros good. Royals good. And then you have teams like Oakland, not so good. I mean, I remember when the Padres used to be good too. They're really not good.
But we're going to get to the Padres. You're looking
at all these teams now that are coming up making moves. It's exciting to see.
I'm going
to
ask you a question about the Mets. With the deals that they made at this trade deadline, give me a percentage on three things: playoffs, wild card, division. What are your percentage? First, give me your playoff percentage. Do the Mets make the playoffs? What's your percentage?
85.
I was going to say 80. The reason I say that, they make deals that are helping them. They're tied right now for the division. 2.5 in the wild card race if Washington pulls ahead of them. Give me a percentage that they get one of the wild card spots. It's looking at this point like if they do, they'd have to knock my Cubs out to do it.
80%.
What about winning the division?
40.
See, I'm the other way around. 80 that they'll make the playoffs. I'll go 75 division, 40 wild card. The reason why is I feel like the Mets right now, you're tied with Washington. Yeah, you're 2.5 out of the wild card, but the division's more in grasp right now than the wild card because you don't have to worry about just the Cubs for that spot. You got to worry about the Giants as well. And the Giants, they went ahead and got Mike Leake to help fulfill and bring some power to their pitching. Everyone was getting pitching this year. That was the big thing at the deadline. Pitching, pitching, pitching. Who's going to get it? Who's going to give it up?
Well, with the Nationals really quickly, you can't count them out. They've got great hitting, and they really shored up their bullpen because they have Jonathan Papelbon now as their closer. And that's pretty good. But I think that when you talk about pitching, that's what it was for. Everyone who was looking was almost shopping for pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Why? There weren't a plethora of great hitters. There were a couple of good hitters out there on the market.
But their
asking price was so high. And I think that's why, we'll get to it. We may be getting to it now.
Go ahead, get to it.
The Padres, in the end,
Upton was supposed to be traded, right?
Upton, Shields, Tyson Ross, Ian Kennedy. Why weren't these guys traded? Because The asking price was so high. I mean, the Padres wanted the moon for each of those guys. Why? Because they valued them a lot. Where did the rest of the league value them? Decently enough. They would pay. They pay good money. They wouldn't pay what the Rangers paid to get Cole Hamels, but they'd pay. However, the Padres thought they deserved more, and that's why they didn't move anybody.
Well, and I'm trying to find the article where I saw it, but it baffled me when I saw the comments from their GM, like, oh, you know what? We didn't make a move because we feel like we can still make the playoffs. And if you're sitting there going, well, Ricky, they still could. They're 9 games back of the Dodgers for the West. They also have the Giants in front of them. The Giants added pitching. Talk about a team that added pitching. The Dodgers, in one trade that involved 3 teams, they picked up 5 pitchers. Latos, Alex Wood, Jim Johnson, Luis Avila, Avilan, and then Bronson Arroyo. Are all of them going to be starters? No, probably Latos. At the least, maybe Jim Johnson, because I know he used to be a good starter. He's probably all those guys are going to be bullpen, though, except for Latos for sure.
And maybe Alex Wood.
Maybe. But I mean, that's a team that added 5 pitchers just to help out anything, to just have guys in the rotation. You got them ahead of you. And then in the wild card, you're chasing not only the Giants. You're 6.5 back, and you've got the Mets and Nationals ahead of you. You got the Giants ahead of you. You got the Cubs ahead of you. And you think you can still make the playoffs? I'll tell you this. The White Sox have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Padres.
Yeah, the Padres are not making the playoffs this year. I mean, they're just not. They didn't. And you know what's really sad, too, is that they didn't make the moves to position them in a better spot for next year. They didn't, because a lot of those guys, they're going to be free agents at the end of the season. They're not going to get anything for them. I mean, they'll get maybe a decent draft pick. They're not going to get what they could have gotten in a trade. They're not going to get prospects. They're not going to get that. They really dropped the ball here.
All
the trade
because
deadline.
They didn't want to say, you know what, we're going to hit the
They
the
couldn't
rebuild button.
Swallow their pride. They couldn't do it. If they could have done it,
and hey,
they would have been all right.
Looking at the guys that their contracts are going to be up in 2016, some of them you got here. Who's the top one? Justin Upton. His contract's up in 2016, signed a 6-year deal before they traded for him. So after the season, he's a free agent.
Yeah, and I mean, they could have gotten there were a lot of teams looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles traded for Gerardo Parra from the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yep.
Why did they go Parra? Well, one, he's been pretty hot as of late. But two, I don't think they wanted to toy around anymore with the Padres. I think teams were probably starting to get ticked off that nothing was serious with San Diego. And that's the problem. So I think that in the end, it's kind of unfortunate for probably both parties, a team that really was looking at their players and didn't get them, and two, the Padres.
Well, you could also look at the same thing from, I want to say, the Pirates, because I know Michael Morse doesn't play the exact same position as Upton, but I kind of feel like the Pirates would have much rather had Upton be a bat on their team than getting Michael Morse and Cash from the Dodgers for Tabata.
Well, Michael Morse, a first baseman, Upton would be an outfielder. Yeah. They traded Tabata, the outfielder. So maybe they were looking at a different spot there. But the Pirates, again, a team that they went, they got some bullpen help. They got Joaquin Soria from
Hop,
the Tigers.
And they got J.J. Hop from the Mariners.
I mean, there were teams.
Even if he's not a starter, he can help you out in the bullpen.
There were some teams this year, they knew what they were doing, and they did a really good job. So the Pirates, they're another team to be able to be watching in the wild card as well.
Let's get to it. Cole Hamels, Rangers, what are you thinking? What were your thoughts when it went down?
That was stupid. That
was
my
really,
thought.
Was
that
it was, really that stupid,
that,
though?
That was my first thought. You asked me what my thought was. That was my first thought.
And I'm second-guessing it. My biggest thought was it was one of those, really? The Rangers?
Here's
the Rangers?
My
first thing was outrage. I took I can't remember what it was. It was something that, like, a piece of like Tupperware that hit, threw it against the wall because we didn't get Cole Hamels. We didn't get Cole Hamels. The Cubs didn't get Cole Hamels. I was furious.
How about this? So that was my first thought. How stupid. My second thought was, are the Rangers even in first place?
Here's the thing, though.
No.
And this is why, just right now, there's one reason why they made this trade. And it's because it's kind of like a conversation that we have in the NBA where, oh, the Western Conference, very competitive, where there's like, you can either be fourth in the conference or ninth. That's how close you are. The Rangers at one game under 500 are 2.5 out of the wild card. And this brings a discussion for another day about the wild card is too really right because really, I mean, in the AL, you have, besides the Twins, Jays, Orioles, everyone under them, the Rays, the Rangers, the Tigers, and the White Sox, within three games of that last spot, and they're all under 500. Really? Really? That's why they made the trade, because even at a 500 team or under 500 team, they can get that second wild card spot, and Cole Hamels gives them a pitcher. They love pitching. Anyways, they'll trade the whole farm for pitching. They did it when they got Cliff Lee from the Mariners. And hey, who knows? Maybe Cole Hamels can get them 2.5 games. However, if we're looking at what the Blue Jays did compared to the Rangers, I'm sorry, you just traded the farm for nothing.
Well, I think that another thing, though, that the Rangers are probably looking at is they probably are looking forward to the next couple of years and having him then. And Cole Hamels will be good, but you look at this Texas Rangers team, and are they the same team that they were a couple of years ago? I don't think so. They're getting older. They're definitely getting older. Adrian Beltre, how much longer does he have? Elvis Andrews, how much longer does he have?
And I know
that, I mean, these guys are they're getting older.
And I know that as this podcast goes up, these games are going to be final, but I'm going to say it anyways. I'm just looking at the top ticker as we're recording this podcast. Mets are up 12-1 in the ninth on the Marlins, and the Rangers are leading the Astros 11-7 in the fourth. A lot to go in that game. That may change by the time we're done recording, by the time this goes up. But, I mean, it was tricky, but I can see why the Rangers did it, because they feel like there's a chance. Now, on the other hand, why didn't the Cubs do it? And here's my biggest question with the Cubs. I know you get Herron. I know that we traded Junior Lake away to get Tommy Hunter. And I'm just sitting there going, but why didn't we trade Castro? Why didn't we throw Castro in for the Cole Hamels deal? Why didn't we try? I mean, the whole Shields thing, it's turned out that was more the Padres than us, most likely. I'm just sitting there going, why didn't we try a little bit harder? However, the other side of me is saying, take a chill pill. In Theo, we trust, even though it's hard right now. It's really hard. This is the first time in Theo's career with the Cubs that I've questioned a move or a not move that he has done or hasn't done, because I'd rather have either David Price or Cole Hamels on my team than Dan Herron.
Well, how about this? Maybe Theo didn't want to give up as much as he believed they needed to give up to get those guys. I mean, I don't look at the Cubs as a real big winner at the trade deadline this year, but maybe they're not as big of a loser as maybe a lot of their fans think, because they did get a pitcher. They got two. Tommy Hunter for the bullpen, Dan Herron for the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dan Herron, if he could get back to his form that he used to have when he was on the Angels, which is way back when, or how about this, the Diamondbacks. Remember Dan Herron on the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, gosh, I do.
Throwback.
I
do remember. Throwback that. Thursday on a Monday. But, I mean, if they could get, going back to what you said earlier, a tenth, two-fifths of, I'm just throwing out numbers now, but yeah, if they could get any of that type of production, that's a really good move by Theo Epstein.
I was just that whole week. I was very confused because you had, I want to say it was either Sunday night or Monday before the trade deadline. Trade deadline was Friday. You have Joe Maddon. I get an ESPN text. Joe Maddon tells Castro, you're not going to be traded. Then Tuesday of that week, I get another one saying the Cubs are actively shopping Starlin Castro. And then we end up not trading him. And I'm sitting there going, okay, do I like Castro? Yes. Do I think he's tradable? Yes. Would I mind if he was traded? No. However, I feel like that infield's getting crowded. It's getting more and more crowded as we get prospects. Because to me, and maybe other Cub fans disagree with me, I feel like our future outfield, or not outfield, our future infield from left to right is going to be Bryant, Russell, Baez, Rizzo. Well, Castro's not a part of the plan.
Here's the thing is Castro is not part of the plan. It's time to move on from Starlin Castro. He takes too many plays off. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about the guys who used to play back in the day. Oh, that guy never took a day off.
How about when he
Starlin made, Castro, is there a day that he really he shows
made,
up?
How about when he made that error and sulked about it and let a run score from third? I don't forget about that.
It's plays like that where you go, you know what? I'd be content seeing my team trade him away.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. I would, and I just, am I actively looking for him to get the boot? No.
Are you going to be upset about it if it happens?
No.
No.
I mean, if it, I'd rather see us get a pitcher than us get nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me tell you. I think that give it a little time. See what happens with Dan Heron. You may be pleasantly surprised.
Do you think... I'm going to say this from... I'm going to ask you because you're the White Sox fan in the room. Do you honestly think that the Cubs can make the playoffs this season?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, look at the way that the Cubs played against the Brewers. I know it doesn't really help because the Brewers are an outlier. They're really bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the way that Anthony Rizzo played, the big home runs he hit just about every game
against the
Brewers. The Cubs are such a talented team. They put it together. They're a dangerously talented team. That's what they need. They need to go on a run. They need to put it together in a big way. They really need to get going. Not that they're not doing well right now. They're not going to catch the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Neither the Pirates.
No.
The Cubs can win.
If we're going to make the playoffs, we got to win the wild card.
The Cubs can win the second wild card spot.
You think so?
It's very doable.
You think we'll hold out the Giants for it?
I think you could. Ricky, really quickly.
Okay.
Any more winners or losers? Big winners or losers?
Not really a winner or loser, but the one trade, we mentioned it, but we have yet to talk about it. This will probably be one of the last things we talk about on the podcast tonight is thoughts on that Dodger deal. I know we mentioned it with the Dodgers. This is exactly what went down. The Dodgers get, I want to say it's seven players. Matt Latos, Alex Wood, Jim Johnson, Michael Morse, who they later traded Morse to the Pirates, Luis Avilan, Bronson Arroyo, Jose Peraza. The Braves get second baseman Hector Olivier. Am I saying that right?
Olivera.
They get Paco Rodriguez, Zachary Bird. They get a draft pick, compensatory draft pick from the Marlins. And then the Marlins get three pitchers, Jeff Bingham, Victor Arulo, and Kevin Guzman. So to me, the way I see this is Dodgers getting the pitching they want to eventually make a playoff run. The Braves saying, hey, we just want, you know what? Give us your prospects because we're not going to make the playoffs. The Marlins going, we don't know what we're doing here. So it looked like to me. These prospects that they got may be great players, but it looked like, hey, we don't know what the hell we're doing.
Ricky, that's funny. I honestly, that was hilarious. But I'm picturing the Jacksonville GM in draft day being like, yeah, I'll do it. I guess I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. But I think that what I was really surprised about, and I think a lot of other people were too, the Dodgers, they gave up Hector Olivera, the guy that they outbid everybody to get in the offseason for $63 million. They give him up to the Atlanta Braves. So that was a little confusing, but they wanted pitching. They went out, they got it. They got Matt Latos. They got Alex Wood, who I think is kind of a centerpiece of that mm-hmm. deal. They get Jim Johnson. I think that Bronson the Royals washed up, but I think that you look at the pieces they got some good pieces. They're not going to be looking for pitching anymore this year, I don't think. But outside of that, I think the Braves really won in this one.
Really? The Braves?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I kind of want to lean towards the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are just doing it to get to the playoffs, because if I'm the LA Dodgers, we're going to win the division. But the one thing I'm worried about is Clayton Kershaw. If he has one, all you need is one bad game from Kershaw in the playoffs, and your playoffs could be ruined, especially if it's in the NLDS. Hey, if it's even a wild card game, your playoffs could be ruined. So, I mean, the really, it's who won, the Braves or the Marlins, because both of those teams are building towards the future, and you think it's the Braves.
I do.
Because, of course, like we already said, I said, the Marlins didn't know what they were doing. But the one thing looking back, and this is before I get to the last thing I'm going to ask that we'll talk about, the one thing, my final thought on the Cubs, is the one prospect that I'm glad we did not trade, Carl Edwards Jr., the right-handed pitcher right now with the Iowa Cubs, because I think next year, guess who he was drafted by the way? Take a wild guess. He's a pitcher. Take a wild guess. An AL team that likes to draft pitching and then trade it away to get veteran pitchers. We talked about
him today. The Texas Rangers.
The Texas Rangers. He was a 2011 draft pick for the Rangers 4 years ago. So I'm glad we didn't trade him. Probably could trade Castro. But the last thing I want to ask you today, with all the trades that went through, we'll start in the AL. Give me your division winners and your wild card winners.
Division winners and wild card winners?
Who's going to win each division? Who's going to be the wild card teams? Because I'm assuming this is the last time we're going to talk baseball, because next week we'll be back with the Primetime Podcast.
Well, let me go with the easiest division first in the AL. It's going to be the Central.
Okay.
The Royals take it.
Okay.
Kansas City Royals will win the Central.
I'm going to go with the Royals as well, because there's no way the Twins are going to catch them.
No. I'll go on the East. I'm going to say in the East, the Yankees do hang on, and they win the AL East.
I'm going to say the Blue Jays. Blue Jays catch them and overtake them.
And then in the West, that is going to be really hard. But
Angels.
I'm going to say the Astros.
Angels. So our division winners, you have Yanks, Royals, Astros, who are currently the leaders right now. I have Jays, Royals, and Angels. My wild card team, my wild card game in the AL will be, it's going to be the Yankees at Houston. Yankees at Houston, Twins just miss out. What about you?
My wild card teams are definitely going to be the Blue Jays. And then we're also going to have the Minnesota Twins. They win a couple of big games.
So you're saying the Astros are going to miss the playoffs?
Or
the Angels are going to miss the playoffs in your mind?
I'm going to say that the Twins win a couple of big games down the stretch at the end.
So is that game going to be in Toronto or in Minnesota?
Toronto.
In Toronto. How about the NL? Let's start with the East. I'm going to go with the Mets.
And at least I'm going with the Nationals.
So how about the Central?
The Central, Cardinals. It's going to be the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's got to be the Cardinals, as much as that pains to say. And I'm going to say Dodgers in the West.
Yeah, I'm also going to say the Dodgers.
Wild card teams, Chicago at Pittsburgh. That's what I'm saying. Chicago at Pittsburgh. Chicago wins to play the Cardinals in the NLDS. How about you?
Ricky, oddly enough, I'm going to have to agree with you.
You're going to say Cubs at Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be so, and I said this only because of how cool it would be. Wouldn't it be cool if the Cubs win that game in Pittsburgh and then have to play the Cardinals in the division series, and it feels like we have to get through the division just to get to the championship series? I think it would be pretty cool. But that is going to do it for this special podcast for Most Valuable Podcast. Primetime Podcast fans, do not fret. We will be back next week, I promise, talking about some college football because we got to get ready for the football season. Just wanted to take a happy little break, do something different from Most Valuable Podcast. Leave a comment down below if you agree with anything we said, disagree. Tell us what you thought of the many different trades that happened this year at the MLB trade deadline. If you like the podcast, hit that like button. If you loved it, hit that subscribe button. Also, check out the Onside Kick and the Fast Break for all you NFL and NBA fans. Thank you guys for checking us out this day, afternoon, night, evening, whatever it is by you. But as always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.